Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Loose in the left corner. Slapkowski drops it off to Caulfield. The Sharks are in big trouble here. Matheson on the point. Gives back to Caulfield with the near side. Sends it over to Slapkowski. Tips it back to Matheson. Caulfield shoots. Saved by Blackwood. Rebound near side. Anderson to Caulfield. 17 seconds left. Caulfield shoots. Saved by Blackwood. Rebound near sideboard. Suzuki back. Matheson the shot. And Blackwood got a piece of it. Rebound near side. Only 8 seconds left. Another shot. Matheson.
Block.
By Zetterlin. Cleared by the Sharks. And it's all the way down. This game is over. A 12-game losing streak comes to an end in Montreal.
Some big plays, some big blocks at the end there. 1-0. All right, 1-0. Great way to start the second half. And we got to keep building on it, right? Don't forget this feeling, right? We earned what we got tonight. Obviously, we've got some areas we got to continue to clean up. But it's not easy to get out of the situation we're in. But we took a big step forward tonight. Like we talked about. Let's mirror the last road trip. We got better and better as that trip went on, okay? We're 1-0 the second half. Let's make sure we get prepared to make it 2-0 in Ottawa. Great job.
All right. Good morning, everyone. What is happening? The losing streak has come to an end. And at least for one day, we can feel that much better about the San Jose Sharks. No, it's not going to be an easy road from here on out. It's not going to be a sudden turnaround. It's not going to mean that anything but the streak is over. But at this point, you need that. You need something to look at. You need something to be able to hold your hat on. You need that hard work to pay off. Because the one thing that I've been paying attention to since the Sharks were in the midst of this very, very difficult losing streak was just how difficult their schedule was overall. It was like when the quote-unquote worst team they were facing was the Arizona Coyotes, who in their last 10 are 5-5, and they are 20-18-2 overall. That's going to make things difficult when you're a team that's rebuilding like the Sharks have been. And if we go back to the start of that streak and look at their overall schedule, we see Arizona, Colorado, LA, Arizona, Vancouver, LA, Edmonton, Colorado, Detroit, Winnipeg, Toronto, and Toronto. And yes, Detroit has had a tougher go of it since where they were earlier this year. But the fact of the matter is, those are all extremely difficult teams to face. And the Sharks were only playing 4 home games in the entirety of the month of December. And, which is a factor, I know we're in January. And then now, what happens when they play a team that is not one of those upper echelon teams, a team like Montreal? They're 17-18-6 now. They've got 40 points on the year. That meant a winnable opportunity for the Sharks. And then what's going to happen next when they play Ottawa and Buffalo and Chicago? Teams that are not in the same tier as the teams they were losing to over the course of that streak. I think the Sharks have the opportunity to win some games. And the Sharks' difficulty or strength of schedule up to this point, I think theirs and Anaheim have been two of the most difficult in the NHL, if not the two most difficult, which plays a factor, especially when you are a rebuilding team, especially when you're trying to build something new, turn a corner, make your way from one end of a season to another. You've been hit with injury the way the Sharks have. You've had all these different things that the Sharks have been dealing with, and that becomes part of the reality. That becomes part of why you're seeing all these losses. The schedule, the injuries, the newcomers. It doesn't mean that the team hasn't been not good. Don't get me wrong. I am just saying that those are all factors that weigh in on a 12-game losing streak, And for the Sharks now, with the schedule lightening up, they have the opportunity to win more games. Will they? I don't know. I can't say that for certain in any way, shape, or form. But I do know that it is that much more difficult to win when you're playing against really good teams when you yourself are not a really good team. And I saw a tweet after the game last night from Sportsnet that I very, very much disagreed with in every essence of what they were insinuating. And again, it was from Sportsnet. It says, it's hard to ignore that the Montreal Canadiens lost to the 32-ranked San Jose Sharks, but the more relevant story is how they lost, as Eric Engels writes. Now, listen, Eric Engels is entitled to his opinion. I'm not going to take any of that away. But I will point out that when you are facing a team that is on a double-digit losing streak, you are mathematically in the crosshairs to be that team that ends up losing to the bad team. This is hockey. When you are in a losing streak, all it takes is one night with a hot goalie, and suddenly you can find yourself on the winner's side of things. This isn't basketball, where if you don't have the horses, you simply don't have the horses. I will look no further than the Detroit Pistons and their 27-game losing streak. In basketball, if you have the guys, you are going to be a very good team. The Warriors, you've only got only five guys out there on the floor. That's why they were so good for so long. They were putting out, you know, Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. Teams are allowed to carry up to 15 guys in the regular season. And mostly you see the top five guys eating a huge chunk of the minutes. That's not what hockey is, right? You know, hockey is a collection of talent that is very, very different to other sports. It's lower scoring, so the margin of error is that much more thin. And the Sharks were bound to win. Now, I'm sure Montreal can be upset all they want. I'm not going to deny them that. But it just seemed to me like, no, mathematically, the Sharks were due for a win. And also mathematically, looking at their strength of schedule, they're probably not as bad as their overall record would indicate. If we look at the Sharks right now, guess what, guys? Even though they won last night, not much changed. They are 10-29-3, 1-9 in their last 10. They have 23 points on the year, 6 back of Anaheim. They are 3 back of Chicago, and they are now 5 points back of Ottawa. So it's not like the Sharks are out there in space. Yes, Montreal has won more games, but they've only got 40 points on the year. That's tied with Buffalo, and it's not, you know, tangibly better than where we see a lot of the other lower tier teams in the NHL. That's not that much different than the Capitals right now. They have Alex Ovechkin's fame, although he's getting older before our very eyes. But again, when you have a team that's lost the way the Sharks have been losing, if you're the next man up, there's a good chance, unless you're a really, really good team, you could be the team that snaps that streak. What are the other teams the Sharks have beaten this year supposed to say? Like the Islanders and the Devils and Vancouver and, you know, you go down the list. But I think that in a season like this where you have something that can get off the rails, the Sharks acknowledged where they were and they followed up one of their worst efforts of the year in a 7-1 loss to Toronto and came back with one of their best efforts of the year. And I think you can make an argument that the second period, even though they didn't have, you know, some of the goal scoring exploits that they've had in some other wins this year, that was one of their best periods of hockey of the year. Their sticks were active. That was one of the things that I noticed very, very much over the course of the game. You know, back-checking, Tomáš Hertl and Anthony Duclair knocking the puck away. If you have your forwards committed to defense like that, it's going to make things that much easier. And from the goalie's perspective, you know, they were not getting pucks in deep. You know, Mackenzie Blackwood did have to make some phenomenal saves over the course of the game, but it was limited compared to what some of the other Sharks games have been as of late. They were pushing things to the outside. They were not letting them get that, you know, centering penetration like we saw with an Austin Matthews against Toronto, which, my God, that guy, I could go on for another 30 minutes about his ability to get into the slot unattended. And it's like, what's going on? Doesn't anybody see this peak goal scorer in the NHL left alone in the slot? But I digress. But the Sharks weren't allowing that. They were pushing guys to the outside. They were not allowing pucks to get deep. They were meeting guys at the blue line. They were not allowing zone entries with speed. They were making life difficult. They were closing down time and distance. They were just being annoying, I think, for Montreal over the course of the game. And if you do that over the course of the game, you're just going to give yourself a better chance. And I will also point out that that's easier to do when you're not going up against a team like Toronto, which has some of the most talented players on earth, or a team like Colorado, who has some of those players, or a team like LA, who has been getting better and better as of late. And that's, again, You go down the list of the teams they were losing to. Yeah, the 1-0 loss against Arizona is probably one that you should have won. You know, it should have been a 5-2-1 stretch for the Sharks as opposed to a 4-2-1 way back at the start after they beat Winnipeg. But, you know, that was December 12th, and we went almost a month without a win. Almost a month without a win. If you are a fitness tracker wearer, if you've got yourself a Fitbit, an Apple Watch, a Whoop, whatever it is, you know what you should do is you should go see what you weighed before the Sharks' last win and what you weigh now. Like, what was the difference between December 12th and January 12th? The morning after the Sharks got the win, because that's the best time to weigh yourself, by the way, in the morning after you've slept and gone to the bathroom. But the point is like you had the holidays over that stretch. You've had a month of time over that stretch in which the Sharks went without wins. That's a lot to deal with. And the Sharks were able to handle it. It sounds like they had a really fun practice on Wednesday, that David Quinn was keeping things light. We heard Mario Ferraro talk about that Tuesday night after the game, that he needed to keep things light. They needed to do stuff off the ice. And that's a credit to David Quinn and, you know, the other leadership guys of the team knowing exactly what the team needed. I mean, listen, barking orders, working on conditioning, you know, how much is that going to help, right? At this point, these are all professionals. They all know that they are going to be losing. I know that there was a blue versus white scrimmage and the loser had to do push-ups. And I believe it was our good friend Sheng Peng who posted a video of, you know, the guys doing push-ups out there on the ice after losing a little scrimmage. Like, those are the kind of fun things. Team building. I know you can, you know, get lost in ideas of hazing and things like that. But no, guys want to have fun. They want to be chirping. They want to be talking it up. And, you know, if you go and you listen to the interview I did yesterday with Drew Remenda on the buildup, we were talking about when he was a coach back in the 92-93 season when they had a 13-game losing streak, got a win, and then followed it up with a 17-game losing streak. And I'm very much hoping nothing like that happens now with the San Jose Sharks. But, you know, he talked about a story where they had to, you know, go look at video after that 13th straight loss. And he said that after the game, he was talking to George Kingston, the Sharks' first ever head coach, and said, "What do you want me to show in video?" And he said, "Whatever you want." And Drew went back to the hotel room and was going to put together some film, but had no idea what to go to because I think it was the game, or maybe it was the one where they had lost 13-1, I forget, but I think that was referenced. And, you know, what are you supposed to show out of that? You want to burn the tape any more than you want ever want to look at it again. And he said that, you know, he caught Major League on and he dubbed that and put together a, you know, kind of a highlight reel of some of the funnier moments of the movie. And he got everybody together and they watched the movie and some of the guys wanted to hang around and watch it again. Like, you need to know when to lighten up. And I think that the Sharks came into that game last night with a much more light mood and they were lighter on their feet in general. That goal that Cunnan scored, I don't know that's an aggressive move that the Sharks have maybe say a week ago. I don't know if that's something that would have happened the same way. So it's very interesting to watch the difference in energy levels at the start of the game, because that was something that we saw creep into the Sharks game where they were getting slow out of the gate, but they really looked like they had more energy. They had more bounce. You could tell that they were feeling better. And Luke Cunnan scores that goal right off the bat. And that just puts everybody in a better mood. The Sharks suddenly, for the first time in a long time, have what felt like breathing room.
Neutral zone play now. Evans trying to get it, couldn't control. Ruda intercepts for the Sharks. And at the end of his shift, he'll just back a high one into the offensive zone. It bounces out in front. The Sharks score! Luke Cunnan takes advantage of a turnover all by himself in front. He couldn't believe the puck was there, and he snaps it past Montembeau. That's a big goal for Cunnan and the Sharks. San Jose takes the 1-0 lead.
And that was an aggressive move from Cunnan. If he can't get to that puck, suddenly you can have an odd man situation going the opposite direction. And it was a gamble, relatively speaking, not a terrible one or not something that was horribly risky or anything, but it was an aggressive move. And I think that there was a tentative nature that had found its way into the Sharks game as of late, and Cunnan making that move really changed the overall dynamic. And then it also set the stage for Zetterlund, who was able to bury it and give the Sharks a commanding two-goal lead.
Ferraro had his hands full, skating through that check by Slafkovský coming out of the zone. Now Hurdle runs into Matheson, and Hurdle with the puck behind the Montreal net. Zetterlund scores! Fabian Zetterlund, and the Sharks with two here in the first period.
And then that breathing room turned into just a little bit more comfort out there on the ice. Now, I'm not saying that the Sharks ever had a chance to ever feel comfortable in that game, because they didn't. You got to give credit to Montreal. They got themselves back into the game before that first period came to a close. They were able to have the deficit. But, you know, that's a credit to the Sharks to just have that much more snap in their step, that much more overall ability. It was just a huge moment for the Sharks to get that 2-0 lead and finally have something that they could lean back on, where they didn't have to be constantly chasing the puck, where they didn't have to be just kind of running like chickens with their heads cut off, because I think that mentality had crept into their game as well, where it allowed them to play a little bit more of their game. And I knew at that point it was not going to be like a blowout or anything. It's 2-1 at the end of the first period on the road against a team in Montreal, which has intense media scrutiny, which is always going to be part of their dynamic, but it's not easy. The Sharks were going to have to work hard for the rest of the game, and that's exactly what they did. They kept working. They kept giving themselves great opportunities. They kept giving themselves a chance to win the game, and a big part of that was Mackenzie Blackwood, who was simply phenomenal at the end of that game, making huge stop after huge stop when Montreal had the extra attacker out there and they were just going all out looking for that equalizer. It was a masterful performance by him, and it's a guy that, if you look at the way he's played this year, you know, I don't know who's going to be here when all is said and done, but the idea of Blackwood being here for the future is something that very much entices and excites me, because he does have that upper end ability. It feels like it's no exaggeration when you look at David Quinn talking about him as one of the elite shot stoppers in the NHL. And I am not one of those blame the goalie types. I know it's the last guy we see before the puck hits the back of the net, but there are defensive breakdowns that occur. There are screens, there are tips, there are all sorts of things that happen. But I think that what you look at with a guy like Blackwood is that if you give him a shot, if you give him a window, if you give him the ability to have a shot to make a save, there's a high, high chance that he's going to make the save. And I think that's something that we talk about with the elite goalies in the league, whether it's a Vasilevsky, whether it's a Bobrovsky, whether it's, you know, a Shesterkin. I look at the way that he is capable of playing and think to myself, there is something that the Sharks can build around going into the future. Whether or not that's the case, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to figure out what exactly the Sharks' timeline is at this point, but Mackenzie Blackwood, the way he's played in so many games this year, for him to finally get that first road win of the year, well-deserved, well-earned. It was a long time coming, and a huge night for him that the Sharks can continue to build on. Coming up on the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Granlund gets the rebound, cuts behind the Canadiens' net. He slips over to the right wing corner, has some space for himself. He's all the way back to the point. He throws it in front. Okhutchuk by himself shoots and scores. Nikita Okhutchuk getting behind the defense. That's set up with a space created by Mikhail Granlund, and the Sharks on the go by Okhutchuk. His first makes it a 3-1 game.
Yeah, I think that we were feeling pretty good in the second. You know, we're staying on our toes, keeping good gaps. We weren't sitting back, which I liked a lot about our game in the second. You know, we may have had the lead, but we were trying to get more and trying to build on it, and you know, made it harder for them. We spent a little bit less time in our end, so you know. It was a good period. I thought the third was okay. It was a little bit of the contrast to that. I think that, you know, third period up 2 goals, we maybe, you know, sat back a little bit too much. I don't know. It's hard to say though, because they did pull the goalie early and they had 6 minutes there, and we just struggled to get it out. But yeah, it's just, I think that second period is a good way for us to play most of the time.
A goal from Nikita Okhutchuk, his first ever as a member of the San Jose Sharks, and then Mario Ferraro bringing us back in here on Morning Tide on a Friday morning after the Sharks get their first win in almost a month, holding on for a 3-2 win over the Montreal Canadiens. And Mackenzie Blackwood in particular, just a huge night for him, making big stop after big stop after big stop.
Matheson's back inside his own end. He's played great for Montreal. The center for the Sharks line. On the left, takes a look, drops it back to Monahan into the middle. Slap shot just wide for Gouley. Rebound, Ferraro blocks a centering attempt by Caulfield, but now it's back and Slapkowski in line. And another centering play by Caulfield. It hit the pad of Blackwood. He hangs on, and now we've got pushing, we've got shoving, we've got Caulfield on the ice, and we've got Ferraro right in there. Now Hurdle stepping in against Anderson as it's breaking loose back behind the Sharks' net with only 1:06 to play in the third, and the linesman step into a 10.
I mean, you can just hear the way that Dan is getting up for that moment, and you can hear Drew Remenda in the background going, because it was just, you know, all night long, Mackenzie Blackwood had been making huge stops, and he has been just so good at so many points this year and not been rewarded. Like, game two of the year against Colorado when he had, 51 saves and couldn't walk away with the win? I mean, that was just another one of those performances from him where stood on his head at certain moments, did incredible things, made you say wow, like you heard there from Drew Remenda. And, he was absolutely phenomenal and a huge, huge part of why the Sharks won that game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been quite a few games in a row now where we haven't got the results. Some have been, close nail biters and others have been not so great. But, tonight, we really battled and dug in, and it was great to finally get a win here.
That's Blackwood after last night's win, talking with Randy and Hetty on NBC Sports California. David Quinn, no doubt how he feels about Mackenzie Blackwood's game.
This is the goal he is. I think he's one of the elite goalies in the league. I know his numbers may not say it, but I mean, this guy has been outstanding all year long. He was outstanding tonight when you need it. If you're going to win games in this league and need good goaltending, we got great goaltending. And I'm really happy for him for a lot of reasons. He's 26 years old, and a lot of careers have started at the age of 26. A lot of goalies have started their careers at 26, and, he's been really good for us this year.
Just looking at some of the numbers he's had this year, against Winnipeg on January 4th, he had a .933 save percentage and lost. November 30th at Boston, he had a .919 save percentage and lost. November 12th at Anaheim, 909 and lost. October 29th at Washington, 951 and lost. October 24th, 943 save percentage and lost. Colorado, 981 save percentage and lost. You put that on a different team and you're going to have a much different win percentage up to this point of the year. And I'm not here to, blame the Sharks or blame McKenzie or tell you that everything would be different. No, that's just the reality. But the fact of the matter is that he has put together some very good performances for a team that we would classify as not being very good for the time being. So huge credit to Mackenzie Blackwood. He was awesome last night, and I hope he gets another win for the Sharks as they're on this road trip, because he will get his opportunity. That's no doubt about it. But right now, the Sharks have got two games into a five-game roadie down. They're 1-1. They're 1-0 in the second half of the season, as game 42 was a win. And now they've got an opportunity to try and get themselves a little bit more confidence against some teams that are not upper echelon teams. Again, these games against Ottawa, Buffalo, Chicago that they have upcoming, these represent opportunities.
We got better as the game went on, and as we've touched on, we've been digging ourselves out of a mental hole. And, I thought our start was just okay, and then I thought we got better and better as the game went on. And, you don't go through what we've been through and all of a sudden feel great about yourself. You got to earn it, and we started earning it shift after shift. And that's how we have to get out of this. And we took a big step today. And as we said, we want to know. So that's how we look at it. And give them a ton of credit. I thought they did a really good job at the end there, pushing hard. They get the 6-on-5 goal. And there was a shooting gallery there for a little bit. But we stood tall. We blocked some key shots. And our goalie was outstanding when we needed him to be.
I think that lost in the fact of what a huge win it was for the Sharks, it really was an unbelievably entertaining game. I mean, you look at the situations where Montreal was having multiple shorthanded attempts against the Sharks and Mackenzie Blackwood made big saves, or the Sharks, they had a great push and then you'd get come back in the other direction. Montreal would have a great push. It was back and forth. It was very fun. Like a lot of Sharks games, you may have noticed this year, have been lacking in entertainment value if you're a Sharks fan as you get later and later into the game. But I mean, that was just kind of that back and forth, ebb and flow, big swings of momentum, big shots, big moments, and the Sharks stood tall in all of them. I mean, there was no bigger moment than, you know, the final minute of the game when the Sharks were facing the extra attacker and came through, you know, with big saves and big blocks and big stops. That's exactly what you need in those moments. And too often this year, the Sharks have not had the big moment. They've let in late goals. And when it gets 3-2, I know you're probably thinking, uh-oh, I've seen this story before. And thankfully, it didn't turn into something like that. But man, just huge, huge plays from the Sharks. Mackenzie Blackwood crossed the board. They made the big plays. It was not easy in any way, shape, or form, but they earned it. Like David Quinn said, they earned the win. Obviously, the Sharks have been going through these difficult moments and the adversity they have faced. And from the outside, it's okay, just win a game. But I think from inside, there's a lot more at play. There's a lot more of that dynamic. None of these guys like losing. They don't want to be in these situations. They're professionals. They have pedigrees. They've been through, you know, very, very high points and very, very low points. But, you know, the low points, I think, probably bother them more than the high points feel good. And the team had to deal with it.
Yeah, that was huge because it gave us a chance to feel good about ourselves, which we haven't had an opportunity to do for a long time. And, you know, I'm just really proud of our team. It's been a tough go here. We got a lot of good players in there and a lot of guys, a lot of character that have fought through some a lot of adversity. And it's not easy to move past some of the things we've been through, but we did it tonight and got a huge win for ourselves.
And a big part of that was the team leadership, Mario Ferraro, Tomas Hertl, other guys, making sure that the team got some good team bonding activity. Ferraro touched in on that after the win.
Yeah, that was the most important thing was yesterday. We obviously, like you said, we had that practice, but we had, you know, some guys have family in town, like I said, so not everybody was there, but we had about 15 or 16 guys that were able to make it to the dinner. And, you know, that's what it's all about. We were feeling pretty good about ourselves today prior to the game. And that was, you know, it's a reflection of what happened on the ice was a reflection of how we were feeling prior to the game. And that was, you know, more positive and leaning on each other a little bit more and, you know, finding the love in this game a little bit more. You know, obviously being on that little losing streak that we had, you kind of forget about the things that the reason why you play. And, you know, we brought that back. We brought some life back to our locker room and started away from the rink, and it goes a long way.
And then Ferraro also weighed in on Nikita Hochuk's first goal.
Very good pass from Granny. I like how Oki was going downhill and getting involved offensively. That's what I mean. He wasn't sitting back. And, you know, Granny found him. He made a really good play. I have to look it over, but I think Addy made a good pick in the middle, kind of got their defense confused and, you know, found an opening. So it's a good goal. Good for him.
And no surprise that a night where you feel good and get a win is going to have some feel-good moments, like Nikita Hochuk getting his first goal as a member of the San Jose Sharks. These are all things that you need to have happen, you need to build upon. And now, you know, the test for the Sharks is going forward, seeing if they can keep this rolling as they are going to be quickly back at it as they get today off. But then now it's a tough bit of scheduling as they've got 3 and 4 days. They are going to see Ottawa on Saturday at 1, and then Monday at 10 a.m. they've got Buffalo. Tuesday at 5:30, they've got Chicago. Then they get 3 days off, and they'll be hosting Anaheim on Saturday night before traveling to L.A. for Monday night's game, and then they'll be hosting the Rangers on the night of the 23rd. So, yeah, busy schedule ahead for the San Jose Sharks. But most importantly, they got this one win out of the way.
I feel relieved, you know, to get the win, and it's a pretty good performance from us. Some things we can still do better, but it's a little bit of weight off our shoulders for sure. Feels good.
Yeah, I will always go to the great John Madden quote, winning is the great deodorant. It doesn't fix everything, but right now everything smells a lot better if you're a member of the San Jose Sharks. Just that one win. And we saw David Quinn be very, very upfront about it after the loss against Toronto 7-1, saying, you know, I don't care who you are, you're going to go through this. You're going to have to deal with everything that comes with it. And he says that, you know, you can't try and deny it. You can't try and play it off like it's nothing. Losing is hard. So now the Sharks have an opportunity to really just try and get a little bit of momentum going. And I know that sounds kind of absurd in the midst of the type of losses they've had as of late or the amount they've had. But again, the schedule lightening up is a huge factor, because what happens when they played a team that they were capable of beating on the road, like at Montreal, they won. And now I do believe they are capable of beating Ottawa. I do believe they are capable of beating Buffalo. I do believe they are capable of beating Chicago. I do believe they are capable of beating Anaheim when they get home on the 20th. And I know that it's easier said than done, and you've got to play all these games, but it's more of a realistic factor as opposed to just looking at the Torontos and the Colorados and the LAs and the Vancouvers and thinking to yourself, uh-oh, and Winnipeg as well, and thinking this could get out of hand. And 12 losses in a row, while not the worst in the history of the Sharks or the NHL, that's still a bad losing streak. That's not something that you want to be a part of. That's not something that makes your season any easier or any less stressful. That's a lot to deal with. So for the San Jose Sharks, they now have the opportunity to breathe easy for at least one day, get a little bit of rest in, maybe get some blood working through the legs today, just go and skate a little bit, nothing crazy, and then get ready to go tomorrow as they take on Ottawa. 1 o'clock start time, 12:30 pre, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. All right, we are just about out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.